it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go. Gotta just kind of, it's one of those days. This is a Wednesday. It's a hump day. And you got to kind of get over the hump. There's no way around this. There's a gut punch.
Yeah.
I know that, like, George Kittle, that's a big deal. He's on IR. We spent last week freaking out that Christian was going to miss. I don't know about you, Dibs. You and I have had debates on this kind of thing in the past. For me, in all of sports, and maybe somebody like Steph Curry, like an NBA one, is maybe the only thing that sort of feels comparable to me. There's nothing like finding out that you're about to play a football game without your quarterback. There's nothing harder. There's nothing worse. And so they tried to upgrade this position this offseason, and I hope it works.
Yes, and they did so on March 14th, where they went out and paid money, real money, $5 million guaranteed, $7 million over 2 years to bring in a backup that they could look at and say, all right, it's your time. Go out and win us a game. And you go to New Orleans, a team that is not top third. They're probably not middle third in football. They're probably a bottom third team. And you go there with a couple of people missing and your quarterback. My expectation is still for them to go out and win the game.
Oh, I mean,
this is why you paid Mac Jones the way you paid him.
That's an interesting word, your expectation. And by the way, for those of you, maybe if you're just kind of bebopping around, popping around, what Kyle Shanahan did report about an hour and a half ago, we will have for you in just moments. We won't let you hear it from the horse's mouth. That's a big word for me, expectation. I understand that Vegas is still telling us they're favored.
Yep.
I get that they're the 49ers. Like they're okay. They're supposed to win. They're playing the Saints. Mac Jones is a big name backup quarterback. Kyle wanted to draft him 4 years ago. Maybe all of these things are going to factor into a word like that. But for me, that's the word that goes away when you lose your quarterback. I don't know what the hell to expect. I have no idea what to expect.
I mean, you could do that for almost any game. And if you look just at week one in the NFL, how many upsets were there? Teams that were, favored to win but lost the game outright? Probably at least
like
one.
Not a lot. Oh, sure. There was. I mean, I'm trying to look like I do know that survivor pools really, they held firm last week. They pretty much held firm. I think the one we're doing here at work, nobody lost. Nobody lost. So if you took the Cardinals, you were fine. If you took the Broncos, you had to sweat, but you were fine. Like upsets last week, let me look. I mean, the Chargers were an underdog. You and I both thought they were going to win. They did. Let's see. The Raiders were an underdog. Very slight. 2-point. They won that game. I have no idea who was favored in the Dolphins-Colts game. Whatever.
Yep.
The Steelers-Jets game was a tight spread. Commanders, if you had them, no problem. The Niners were favored. They won. The Packers were a slight favor over the Lions. They won. Same with the Rams. And then the Bills and Ravens was a one-point game and was like about a 1 or 2 point spread. So, yeah, nothing major. So, yes, of course, it's sports. I don't know what to expect. I'm just saying when a person at this position comes in, brand new team, new system, really hasn't been all that good in his history as an NFL quarterback anyway. I'm going to release expectations and just let curiosity take over. I'll tell you in the second half what I expect. I need to see him play first, though. I have no idea what the hell it's going to look like.
And that's fair, and I think that my expectations lie in a number of different places. One, you still have Kyle Shanahan calling plays, and you've got Christian McCaffrey, who's been amazing, and you go to New Orleans, a team that really isn't that good. They played better against Arizona than I thought they would, but Arizona is probably the fourth best team in your division. Maybe they're better than that. We don't yet know. New Orleans, to me, was not super impressive. So you go there, and it's not a hostile environment. It'll be loud, but you've got a backup quarterback who will be making his 50th start. This is not just some punchy who you're throwing in some stiff. This guy's been to the playoffs as a starter.
Right,
so
right.
I don't think the step down is as big as it was when you had Mullins or Beathard or Dobbsy or even Brandon Allen, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that wasn't good when that happened last year. All right, 888-957-9570. Let's play with that. Your expectations for Sunday now are what? 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls right now. Here's Kyle Shanahan today on the injuries.
All right, injuries for today. Yetur will not practice, knee. McCaffrey will not practice, calf/vet/vet day. Trent Williams won't practice, knee/vet day. Nick Bosa won't practice, vet day. Brock Purdy won't practice, left shoulder, toe. Juwan Jennings won't practice, shoulder. Jordan James, limited finger. Jordan Watkins, limited ankle. Ben Bartsch, limited knee and elbow.
Okay, so
it's a long list.
That's a long list, and there are a lot of body parts in there. The vet day, whenever you have something slash vet day, I'm just like, okay, vet day.
It's a vet day.
That's right. So don't worry about Christian McCaffrey. Don't worry about Trent Williams. Certainly don't worry about Nick Bosa. They're fine.
Yep.
They're just taking vet days. The good news that's like tucked into all of that that no one really cares about because you've never seen him play, but I'm excited about him. Jordan Watkins is getting close to being ready, and I think he might play in this game. Rookie wide receiver that had a wonderful camp, and I think that kind of changes the ingredients of the stew when you're talking about Juwan's shoulder, Kendrick Bourne joining the team, and all of these different things that are going on at the wide receiver position. I hope Watkins gets a little run, but he's going to have to do it without his quarterback.
Right, and a little bit of run depends on the kind of game flow you're looking at, because Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Russell Gage, they got a little run.
Yep.
Neither one got a target, and the same thing with Sky Moore. So you might have Watkins run around out there a little bit, but ultimately your offense from a passing standpoint is going to be Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, if he's able to go, and then a mixed bag of Tongis, Juszczyk, McCaffrey, Farrell. It's a Shanahan game where he's going to have to get super creative with how he deploys his five eligibles, and I do think you're going to see Robinson and McCaffrey on the field at the same time, which we didn't see in week one.
I would hope so. Yeah. I mean, the good news about this, again, I'd rather have this game this weekend with the Niners knowing all week that they don't have Brock Purdy,
yeah,
as opposed to him getting hurt in series one. And then you've got a fire drill and it's like, okay, Mac, go out there and execute a game plan that you're not good at, you know, like, hey, offensive line, now we've got a quarterback who's not going to have the same escapability. He does not have the legs that Brock Purdy has. And that's become a big part of what the 49ers do. Here's the money one. This is what y'all need to hear. And then you tell me when you think you're going to see Brock Purdy play football again. Listen to Kyle. He's asked specifically about Sunday.
Any further sense about whether Brock will be able to play on Sunday?
I think it's a long shot.
Is it possible that Purdy's injury could be a multi-week thing?
That's possible.
And that's the toe, more so than the shoulder.
Yes. Could be a multi-week injury. How did the injury happen, Kyle?
Brock, did someone step on his foot in the pocket? Do you know how the toe injury happened?
I think it happened scrambling. I think when Love tackled him by the sideline. I believe it happened.
Were you aware he was playing through that in the game, or is it just something you found out later?
No, I was aware.
Oh. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? And I don't know, I've never had turf toe. I think most people don't even know what the hell that is.
No, it's agony.
You know, I've had it,
of course.
Have you really?
It's really.
How the hell did you get turf toe?
Playing basketball, where you go to make a cut and you just jam your foot into the hardwood and your toe between your big toe from the end to your foot, like in the middle, it just like bulbouses up, it throbs up, and sometimes it gets black and blue.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Kyle was asked, is this turf toe?
Can you say he has turf toe?
If you want me to. That's a generic thing for anything on the bottom of the big toe, and since it's halfway between the side and the bottom, that's why we don't say turf toe, but it's the third time you've asked me, so I'll call it turf toe for you if you want.
It's the third time you've asked me. Love it.
Kyle Shanahan, this might be, and we've had some zingers already this year. We've had some good answers. We've had questionable concern. We've had, is Jake Moody your quarterback today? Yeah, absolutely. What about tomorrow? No idea. And then there's this. Is it turf toe? If you want it to be, listen to this again.
Can you say he has turf toe?
If you want me to. That's a generic thing for anything on the bottom of the big toe. And since it's halfway between the side and the bottom, that's why we don't say turf toe. But it's the third time you've asked me, so I'll call it turf toe for you if you want.
Did you say it was turf toe? If you want me to. All right, then the next question should be, did you say that Brock Purdy is playing? Well, if you want me to,
right.
Well, then say it, Kyle. Say that Brock Purdy's going to play through this injury. Say it. Say it now.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to. Don't think that he's going to say it because, you know, he doesn't know and stuff. And, you know, got to see how the toe responds. But you mentioned it earlier and you made a great point about preparation. If you at all have doubt about whether or not your quarterback's going to be there, and there's clearly a lot of doubt, you've got to use every second to get Mac Jones up to speed. And then if you get to Sunday and Brock suddenly is like, hey, coach, my toe feels a whole lot better, well, then you can flip Brock back in the game because he's got all the experience, and you could just change it on the fly that way. You can't change it the other way, like you were saying.
Uno Mas is Mac Jones ready to go.
Mac knows how to play the position. He can play well in the pocket, distributes the ball well, sees coverage as well, can play fast in there. He's got a lot of good film from the NFL with his experience and obviously college. Tough guy who will hang in there and deliver the ball where it needs to go.
Okay, so an endorsement of Mac Jones, who very likely will be the Niners' starting quarterback in New Orleans.
And I, you know, wanted to draft him and stuff, and I got talked out of it by somebody, and so we ended up with Trey Lance and stuff, but I've always had my eye on Mac, and I really like him a lot and stuff.
Look, at some point today, I actually would love to briefly dial back and just find what do you believe? What do you believe actually happened in that draft? Do you believe that Kyle Shanahan traded up to get Mac Jones? Or do you believe that he did not? Or do you believe that it was a smokescreen? Or do you believe that somebody did change his mind? Or do you believe that nobody could change Kyle Shanahan's mind about what quarterback he wanted to take? Like, what do you think actually happened?
I think that he got his mind changed by Trey Lance and by scouts. When he saw Trey Lance and you got to meet him and you realize, you know, he's a smart guy. Yep. He checks a lot of boxes for Kyle, and he's got this unbelievable athleticism. I think that as a group think, they all kind of pivoted and thought, we got to get this guy. So I want one of them.
Huge, huge five quarterback top 15 picks. And none of them, right? None of them. Like, some of them are, they're in the league, they're okay. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, nobody's a star.
Not a none star, no.
Tonight at 7, Odyssey presents I'm Listening, a special broadcast event featuring some of the biggest names in music, news, sports, and some of the most respected mental health professionals. I'm Listening will be hosted by Carson Daly, spreads awareness about mental health, and the message that talk saves lives. You're not alone. It's okay to not be okay. You can listen right here on 95.7 The Game at 7 p.m. tonight. For more information, visit imlistening.org. We're also sponsored by Cache Creek Casino Resort. All right, here we go. Your phone calls right now. 888-957-9570. How does no Brock Purdy change your expectations for the game in New Orleans on Sunday? This is Willard and Dibbs.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Any further sense about whether Brock will be able to play on Sunday?
I think it's a long shot.
Is it possible that Purdy's injury could be a multi-week thing?
That's possible.
And that's the toe, more so than the shoulder.
Yes. It's questionable. Questionable concern.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I don't have questionable concern.
I don't think he does either.
I have definite concern.
He's got serious concerns, if that's what you're looking at. Game two, and he's out with a toe. And you mentioned the toe. That thing could be, it could be 2 to 3 weeks. Yep. It could be 1 week. You just don't know with the toe.
I'm not a doctor, so.
Neither am I. Dibs is. And we are able to text Doc Pandy, and he's usually listening to the show. So we can do that, too. Let me ask you this before we go to the phones. How much better than the Saints do you think the 49ers are?
I would say a touchdown better, all okay. things flat level considered equally.
Okay. And how many points per game is Brock Purdy worth to you?
He's probably worth, I would say, 3 to 5 points.
I mean, Vegas is trumpeting what you're saying. I guess my point is like, it's funny to me that the Niners, you're like, oh, they're a 7-point favorite against New Orleans. And you're like, yeah, but they don't have George Kittle. All right, but they'll still beat him. Probably don't have Juwan Jennings. They'll still beat him. Okay, they don't have Brock Purdy. Well, they'll still be. Could we ever get to a point where you think the Saints would win this game?
Yeah, you're getting closer.
Like, if the Saints are a bunch of people that you think would be backups on the 49ers, why are the 49ers now not the Saints? Because a bunch of backups are playing.
Because you still have an elite running back. You've got one of the best left tackles ever. And your defense, I haven't heard a lot of names on the defense that you're going to be missing.
No, although they are one game in, and a lot of those young guys were like, okay, there's some good moments, some bad moments. Cooper Kupp dropped a pass, and Sam Darnold fumbled a football, and blah, blah, blah. Like, all I'm saying is, do y'all think the Saints are an NFL team?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they're in the league.
Yeah.
But if you want my power rankings of the 32, I don't need to give you all 32. I'd put the Saints probably at 29, 30.
That's totally fair. I guess my point is here's how I'd answer the question we're asking. What are your expectations now that Brock Purdy's unlikely to play? My answer, I have none. I have none. I do not expect them to win this game on Sunday. Now, I wouldn't say I'm expecting them to lose either.
Right.
But I think that this is completely getting naked and starting over. Go back into your closet and start your outfit from the beginning.
I disagree. You've got a backup that you're paying a lot of money to, and you money at least to, have money socks matter. And underwear on.
Yeah, but money doesn't. What does money do?
Forget the money. He's making his 50th start. This is not a guy who is inexperienced or a rookie. You're not turning to a guy who hasn't been there and done it. He's started playoff games, for crying out loud.
Right, but there's a reason that those last two teams moved on from him, too. Like, he started 50 games. It doesn't mean he played well in them.
Well, he didn't play always terribly, and what he got moved off of from Jacksonville, and you know he was always going to be their backup, so Jacksonville was never fancying him as a starter. In New England, he got 3 years, and he was pretty good the first year, and then, oh boy, not good, and then really not good. So, yeah, that's why he's a backup.
Last two seasons, he has started 18 games in the National Football League.
Yeah, 18.
Teams won 4 of them.
Yeah.
4. 4-14. That's his record over the last 2 years in the National Football League. But, you know, I'm not telling you they can't win. I understand. Yep, good defense. Salah, Christian McCaffrey. Here we go. You know, yay team. Like,
Would you say that this Niner team is better than New England 2 years ago and Jacksonville last year?
Not right now.
Not right now.
Not right now.
I would say absolutely right now.
I don't even know how we could say that. We've watched them for one game. I don't look like last year doesn't matter.
Well, I'm not looking at just the one game.
I'm looking at last week and I'm like, like you won, but don't ask me to walk around and be like, yeah, that was impressive. Like, no, it wasn't.
You don't have to peacock it, but you're one of 16 teams that could go undefeated.
No doubt. And and they deserve credit for that. I'm not ripping them either. I'm just like, I think the 49er peacocking and the word expectation really comes from history. It does not come from anything that's really based in reality or based off of what happened last week.
Yeah, I disagree. The reality on which it's based is the laminated play sheet and the guy who holds it, Kyle Shanahan, and Robert Saleh, who has been recently a head coach, and he's a great defensive coordinator. So that, for me, is where my faith mostly lies. Am I expecting Jake Tonjes to have a Kittle game and go 9 catches for a 130 and a TD? Of course not. But it's up to Kyle, and I have faith in Kyle that he can scheme up something using the players that he has. Maybe Garendo gets a chance to run the ball. Maybe it is Jordan Watkins. I don't know. This is where Shanahan, I know he doesn't call himself a genius, but this is where he really earns his keep when you have to get creative without an all-pro tight end and your $53 million quarterback.
It's a very fair answer. However, I would just say that in sports, we've watched this tons and tons of times over and over. And in fact, I think was it you who during the crossover said, what is Shanahan's career record with the 49ers when Brock Purdy and Jimmy Garoppolo are not starting at quarterback?
9-32.
Okay, so great.
Winning percentage of .220.
His play calling was in those games too. And Robert Saleh was in a lot of those games too.
It's true.
If you do not have good players, you do not win in pro sports.
It is a nuanced thing. And, you know, you look at the beginning of that stat and they went 1-10 the first year, and then they went 3-10 the second year. So it's kind of loaded, backloaded to when the team was actually really, really bad. And then the other ones, a couple of years ago, where you sat almost all your starters and you lost with Darnold. Darnold was 0-1. That counts. And Trey Lance was 2-2. And beyond that, Dobbs, same thing. You started him just because it was the end of the year. Brandon Allen got thrown to the Wolves in Green Bay, I believe, last year.
Yep. And that game was over in 2 minutes.
So there is context to this number, I think, that lends itself to the positive.
Like, last year is a great example. And I know a lot of the Niners were hurt. And eventually it wasn't a good team. It wasn't a good team even when Brock Purdy started for it. But they put their backup quarterback in last year. They couldn't even function. The game was over in 2 minutes.
Right. You're talking about the Green Bay game.
2 minutes. Over. Like, you could see it. The game started, and you're like, oh, never mind. I mean, it's been all week. Like, well, maybe. But no, never mind. Never mind. Absolutely and completely overwhelmed right away. So, look, the Saints, I do not think are a good football team. And so I'm not predicting that that's going to happen. I'm just telling you, I have no flipping idea what to expect. And Mac Jones, in the last two seasons, has started 18 games, and his team has only won 4 of them. No, he didn't have the surrounding cast in those games that this is, but this isn't really all that wonderful of a surrounding cast right now either. He's got a wonderful running back, but receiving core banged up, tight end, brand new, like
highest paid edge rusher, Hall of Fame tackle,
I'm talking
and
about
a Hall of Fame linebacker.
I'm talking about on offense.
I'm talking about the totality of the reason why they beat Seattle. Put the special teams aside, because that should be a part of complementary football, but they beat Seattle because the offense kept the ball, the defense was fresh, and the defense got the hell off the field. So can you do that to New Orleans, even if you don't have Kittle and Brock? I think absolutely you can.
888-957-9570. Let's start with Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call, guys. Drop off maybe a little bit because, timing. Brock is really good at throwing the guys open, so that might be an issue there. But moving forward, man, this Brock, every time he takes a big hit, something in him breaks. It's like the polystyrene, man. Hey, they better address the offensive line issue next year. Draft offensive line all over the draft, and they're going to have to replicate Troy Aikman's 1990s offensive line with Kevin Gogan and Stepnowski and Nate Newton, because, man, Brock can take a hit. He takes a hit, he's not going to be able to fulfill this contract because he he just breaks all the time, man. I think it's not even an argument that he's injury prone.
Jonathan, stop right there. You're one of our favorites. You're going to need to say that again with your chest. The man in his first year made it all the way to the end until you had a UCL injury in the NFC title game. The following year, they went to the Super Bowl. Did he miss any games that year? He missed any?
Just the one where they sat him.
Okay, the one that sat him. And then last year, he only missed two football games, and one of them, if it had mattered, we were told he would have played. You're going to tag the guy? Injury? Do you know how, like, if Brock were sitting here next to you, he would be very offended by that? I do not. You said it's no argument. I disagree. It's absolutely an argument. I don't think that's a fair label at all.
Well, we only had him 4 years. He got injured three times, Mark.
He's missed four games in 4 years. That's not, I mean.
Yeah, but because of injuries.
Right.
Taking a big hit.
I mean.
Quarterbacks are going to take a big hit all the time,
Jonathan,
Mark.
Jonathan, so you're saying, like, what about all the hits he took? How many games has he started in his career? About 40-something, 50?
37.
How many, like, what about all the hits in all those games that he did take and he did play?
Okay, but I'm just saying, man, they better build that offensive line. Because I don't want him taking hits, Mark.
Well, nobody does. Yeah. I get that.
And
Jonathan,
this one,
thanks.
Hit, I'm just watching it right now. It's right before the two-minute warning in the second quarter. And the offensive line wasn't the reason why he got hurt. He scrambles, and Love comes over. Julian Love comes over and kind of half-tackle, half-pushes him out of bounds. And Brock's foot just went bam into the grass. And he gets up. He's not even limping. So I don't know if the thing got worse over the course of the game. I didn't see a limp, or overnight it got worse. I don't know if this is going to be one that's going to keep him out a long time.
No, I'll say this again, though, too. Another day goes by, and I'm more impressed by the game-winning touchdown throw again, because now he did it with turf toe. Like,
you want to call it turf toe?
Well,
if you want to call it turf toe, we can.
If you want me to, I will. Do you want me to?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I got to figure out how to handle this. Help me handle this.
I do, but...
Help me figure out how to handle it when fans of the team, any football teams, not just the 49ers, when we do this thing about, like, guys are not, either they're not tough, they can't take a hit, they always get hurt. And then football players will literally come on every show in America and go, injury rate, 100%. We all get hurt every single year. Very few of us play all the games. And then we tuck that into our analysis and start labeling people. I really do not.
Have to be a homer?
No, this is not a homer take. You know, like, you want to call Brock Purdy injury prone, Grandy? Do you like that label?
No, I'm just poking fun.
Okay, we're good. I do not prefer that. That's not fair.
But just depends
on. It's not fair.
If you want to talk about prone, for me, you would have to look at a pattern of seasons where games are missed due to other sorts of injuries, variety of injuries. And, you know, it would have to be something you really looked at and charted. Aaron Rodgers missed an entire season when he tore his Achilles. Does that mean he's injury prone because he missed 16 games? Or is that just a one-off where you look at his overall durability? Josh Allen's one I was looking at earlier, and the guy just doesn't miss a game, really.
He's crazy.
And he's a guy who is running between the tackles and getting all kinds of hits, and he's just built different. So I wouldn't look at Brock Purdy, who has been available for about 94% of the games since he became the starter.
My favorite.
That to me is not,
no.
You don't get the prone label.
It's like, for me, this has been my favorite quarterback to compare Brock Purdy to over the last couple of years. And when I say compare, I want to be careful because this quarterback is way better than Brock. I would take this quarterback over Brock. It's not even close. But the criticisms that you hear people fire at Brock Purdy, this player I'm about to say, all of the criticisms apply to him even more. Even more. His name is Joe Burrow. Is he injury prone? He's been knocked out for a season twice, and he's only played in the league for 5 years. Out for the season twice. And then last year, when he put up unbelievable stats all over the place, they still didn't win games. Even though quarterbacks, I'm told, are supposed to put their entire team on their back, and when things aren't going well around them, it is on them to grab the team, stick them in their back pocket, and carry them to the finish line. And he, too, didn't make the playoffs last year. That's that my favorite example whenever people start coming down Brock Purdy's road.
Yeah, and that's where it's such a flawed phrase, injury-prone. So Brock Purdy gets hit, and he tears his UCL, which was, it was a big hit, direct on the elbow, and that happened. It was a little bit fluky, and I don't think that it was reflective of him being fragile or brittle. That was just the way that went. You mentioned Burrow with two different season enders. Well, they both happened fairly deep in the year, so he only missed 6 or 7 games in those seasons because he got hurt late. So Brock Purdy gets hurt in week one, and so now we're going to tag him with injury prone. We don't even know how long he's going
to
be out.
I'm not going there. Let's go to Max Zach in Oakland. Hey, Max Zach, what you doing?
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Max Zach.
Okay. Anyway, I played some college football, and I've had turf toe before. And what I know about turf toe is they'll give you a cortisone shot right before the game. So I think if you listen to Kyle's recent press conferences, he's getting a little terse, a little salty. You know, we've watched him grow from just inexperienced coach into a curmudgeon. And he's just turning into, you know, a regular football coach. So it's a bit of gamesmanship. You know, just like when McCaffrey, he was in limbo as far as was he going to play or not. He's doing the same thing with Purdy.
So you think Purdy's playing this weekend, Max Zach?
If it is turf toe, if we do call it turf toe, I believe so. You know, when I went into a game, I played for a little background, Laney College and Cal State Hayward when we had a football team. But right before the game, I was on crutches. I couldn't walk. And they gave me this cortisone shot, and he told me it's going to feel like you got a rock in your shoe. I couldn't push off. I played wide receiver. So it was, you know, an explosive position, a skill position. And, you know, it was just like zero push off on my right foot. And once they gave me that cortisone shot, yeah, I didn't have that pain anymore, and I could run.
Was this in high school, Max Zach?
No, this was Laney College against DVC.
In college, okay. I'm like, man, they firing shots at you for Laney?
No, for high school, like, you mean. For sure.
Really? For sure?
Junior college?
This isn't Alabama. We're firing dudes up. Okay.
I mean, okay. I get cortisone every 3 months. It's not like it's out of the ordinary, you know?
No.
I mean, we're not talking about Toradol for a high school kid. That's a whole nother level.
I understand. Max Zach, thank you.
Thank you, Max Zach.
I do not believe Brock Purdy's going to play this weekend. You can think that it's gamesmanship. I get it. Was there some gamesmanship last week with Christian? You could say that, but here would be my response. Kyle, there wasn't gamesmanship last week in the form of, like, I think Christian's probably not going to play. And then he did. Like, he tried to evade.
He didn't say that.
Questionable concern.
Right.
Questionable concern and all of these things. This is not evasive. This is telling you what's going on.
Any further sense about whether Brock will be able to play on Sunday?
I think it's a long shot.
Is it possible that Purdy's injury could be a multi-week thing?
It's possible.
And that's the toe more so than the shoulder.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all definitive to me. Like, he's a long shot. It's a long shot. Like, gamesmanship would be like, what's his status for this weekend? Questionable.
Yeah. Questionable concern. Questionable. I'm not going to say anything about Christian, guys.
Are you concerned? Right. Well, it's questionable if I'm concerned.
Right. This is, I think, a byproduct of him being forced to talk and the league forcing teams to make these designations. Yeah. And so on that day, when he said he had questionable concern, he's got to list him as questionable. And when that happens, the reporters are going to ask. And so now he has to answer. He comes out now, turf toe, and he says it's a long shot. And when he has to get designated, which I think is Friday, right?
Well, Friday is when the official, the report comes out.
So he won't practice today. He probably won't practice tomorrow. And you get to Friday, and if he doesn't practice, then he'll be listed as out. So until then, he can be as murky, or he can obfuscate as David Lombardi told us, which is, you know, being cloudy or being confusing. He can do that now because he doesn't have to designate.
Right, right. But I think this is more out of, like, coaches are going to be very careful about being totally black and white with injuries in both directions, because it's not fair to the player. You do not want to make it sound like there's a really good chance he could play if it's unlikely that the player could play, because that puts the player in a bad position and makes the player look weak. Now, the opposite would be the player is in good standing to play, but I'm going to make you think he's not playing, and the league super duper frowns on that. So you have to be as evasive as possible, but also try to be straight with people. And to me, that's what's happening here. Like, I could be wrong. We certainly were last week. I could misread that. And we did last week with Christian. But my read in this moment, Brock's out on Sunday. Like, 100% Brock is out on Sunday.
I wouldn't put it at 100, but I'd put it at probably whatever. 90, whatever.
Like, he just is not, he's going to be appropriately evasive. He's not going to write it in ink, because if he is, that weakens their flexibility with whatever, because the human body does heal differently for different people.
It does, and the fact that he says it's a long shot tells me that it's not as severe as it possibly could be. Just looking at the return to play timeline for a grade one, which would be the lesser of the possible injuries, 3 to 5 days is normal to return. So yeah, if it's a long shot, then it might be more like 5 to 7, 5 to 9, whatever it is. And you go into it thinking, all right, if it's a long shot, we're just going to save him for the next week, get Mac ready for this game, and then we'll figure out the home opener when we get there.
Or it could be grade two, which is why he's already admitting it's possibly a multi-week injury.
Could be.
Because a grade two moves much more into, several weeks.
Right.
Several weeks.
And they're not like cut and dry, black and white,
no.
Grade one, grade two. It could be a grade 1.5 or whatever.
I did do AI on this. You want to know what AI says about it? Let's see.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Turf.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
So, well, yeah. So they separated it into let's see, how many different grades? It was like three or four different grades. Turf toe prognosis. Turf toe prognosis from AI, grade 1, 2, or 3, as you said.
Yep.
Grade 1, just a few days. Grade 2 is actually a partial tear, could be a few weeks. Grade 3, you know what that is. It's dislocation sensation.
Oh, geez.
And that means a cast for several weeks.
Right.
And sometimes surgery.
Right.
Dudes miss the year sometimes if it's halfway through the year and they get there.
I was looking at that, and it's like a 220-day average return if you have surgery. So, and basically turf toe is when you hyperextend your big toe, so when you hit your foot and the toe kind of goes back and under your foot,
yeah,
it's painful.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and the thing that makes me feel positive about it is he gets up no limp and finishes the game.
Yeah, he played.
Right.
He played on it. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570. What are your expectations for the Niners without Brock this weekend? Also, you're going to want to hear what Kyle had to say about his conversations with Jake Moody. We'll have that for you next. Greg Cosell in 20 minutes. This is Willard and Dibs.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.